This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Attorney General Barr tells Congress that the Department of Justice has appointed a U.S. attorney to look at whether the unmasking by the Obama administration should lead to criminal charges. We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
38 people unmasked Michael Flynn's name 49 times in a two-month time frame. 7 people at the Treasury Department unmasked Michael Flynn's name. Is this an issue that Mr. Durham is looking into?
I've asked another U.S. attorney to look into the issue of unmasking because of, the high number of unmaskings and some that do not readily appear to have been in the line of normal business.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So Mr. Durham is looking at how the whole Trump-Russia thing started. You have another U.S. attorney. Can you give us that U.S. attorney's name, or is that something you're comfortable doing?
John Bash of Texas.
John Bash of Texas is looking specifically at the fact.
At unmasking.
38 people, 49 times, unmasked Michael Flynn's name, and probably other unmaskings that took place in the final days of the Obama-Biden administration. Is that accurate?
Actually, a much longer period of time.
Even before that?
Yes.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and we've got, it was breaking news yesterday because we've all know about Attorney General Barr appointing U.S. Attorney John Durham to investigate potential wrongdoing, which would be criminal activity if a U.S. attorney is investigating, as we talked about yesterday, in the Russia matter involving, again, the entire dossier, the entire investigation, Mike Flynn's matter, going into that, the setup, the fact that the FBI was doctoring emails. At Department of Justice, attorneys were doctoring emails. So you've got that criminal investigation ongoing. I mean, that's what a U.S. attorney investigation is. It's a criminal investigation. And we now have confirmed from Attorney General Barr in yesterday's hearing, as you just heard, that there is a separate criminal federal investigation going on into the unmasking request by the Obama administration officials. And while it was announced 2 months ago on Sean Hannity's broadcast that there was this criminal investigation, I want to make it clear to all of you right now that at that point, all we knew was that a U.S. attorney had been appointed separately because Durham said it was just too much for his investigation on the Russia probe, so he needed a separate person. But we didn't really know more information than that, other than who that person was. Now we know the gravity of that unmasking investigation that is separate from Durham's investigation because it's 2 months into it. So it wasn't like an open and shut, well, it may have been bad practice, but it wasn't something they could charge criminally. 2 months in is very different. And that's why it was such breaking news yesterday. I want to play again for everybody what Attorney General Barr said in response to Jim Jordan, because it just underscores the gravity. And remember our unmasking win in federal court that we just announced yesterday on the broadcast, that unmasking win that said, one, you can't just say we can neither confirm nor deny this exists, the Glomer excuse, and two, if it has your name, you can't use the excuse of it must have been my staff member, which means Samantha Power. It doesn't matter if it was her deputy. If it said Samantha Power, it's attributed legally to Samantha Power. Same thing goes if it's Joe Biden. Can we play Barr? Do we have it quick enough? Play it.
38 people unmasked Michael Flynn's name 49 times in a two-month time frame. 7 people at the Treasury Department unmasked Michael Flynn's name. Is this an issue that Mr. Durham is looking into?
I've asked another U.S. attorney to look into the issue of unmasking because of, the high number of unmaskings and some that do not readily appear to have been in the line of normal business.
Wait, I want to be clear. So there is another investigation on that issue specifically going on at the Justice Department right now?
Yes.
That's the big deal, folks, right now. And you know what our win in federal court means? All those people being investigated can't use some excuse that it was some staffer who did it. And their staffers could be investigated, too. We'll talk about that when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to play this. So this was literally back, and my dad is joining us. So if you want to talk to us on air, Jay Sekulow is with us, our chief counsel at the ACLJ. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. He's traveling, but he's joining us by phone. But I want to play this. So 2 months ago, but I want to put into context, on Sean Hannity's television broadcast, 3 days after George Floyd was murdered, and the same day the president announced that the Department of Justice was opening a federal civil rights investigation into the murder of George Floyd, a DOJ spokesperson was on Sean Hannity's television broadcast at a time when and mentioned the specific that Durham had asked that Barr appoint a different U.S. attorney to look at the unmasking issue. So this was at a time when none of the nation's focus was on this topic. Everybody's focus was on the what had happened to George Floyd, the wrongdoing there, the protests that had started, and then how the protests started devolving into kind of chaotic situations. But take a listen, because I want to be fair and honest. So it comes out, is back 2 months and 1 day ago on Fox News, Carrie Kupik from DOJ, Byte 23.
John Durham, as part of his investigation, had been looking at the issue of unmasking, and the attorney general determined that certain aspects of unmasking needed to be reviewed separately as a support to John Durham's investigation. So he tapped John Bash, one of our U.S. attorneys out of Texas, to do just that. We know that unmasking inherently isn't wrong, but certainly the frequency, the motivation, and the reasoning behind unmasking can be problematic.
So you've got that. That's 2 months and 1 day ago. And then I want to go to my dad's, because then we played for people in the first segment. We can play for him again in a moment. But we then have, again yesterday, Attorney General Barr, in response to Congressman Jim Jordan, say specifically that that investigation is still ongoing. So that's a big deal. It wasn't like an open and shut, because as she said in that television broadcast, it's not that unmasking is inherently illegal. It's the number and in the scope, and we know now we're 2 months into a criminal investigation into just unmasking. Dad, looks like we may have, we'll reconnect with him, because here's the point why this is a big deal. You get an announcement 2 months ago that hardly anyone knew, and it was not a main topic of any broadcast because of what had happened to George Floyd, and rightfully so. But it's much different than when you know about it 2 months later, that there is a separate criminal investigation going on just on what the Obama people, and that includes Joe Biden, the Democrat nominee for president, who is the last person who unmasked Mike Flynn, the last person in our case that we just won, said Joe Biden can't use some excuse like, well, it wasn't actually me, it was my deputy. But that legally, if it said Joe Biden, it is Joe Biden. And now that's our civil case, FOIA. And now we know there's a criminal investigation that started 2 months ago that is still ongoing just on masking, Than.
Jordan, this is really, really significant for a number of ways. First of all, to get the confirmation directly from the Attorney General himself, not backing away from it, not hedging it, confirming that John Bash is indeed looking into it. That in and of itself is significant. But Jordan, a couple of things about the scope here, and you touched on this, but the fact that it's a criminal investigation, the fact that he acknowledged that it's even bigger than Congressman Jordan had outlined, it involves more names. And Jordan, it reaches even further back than we had prior known to prior to that transition period. That's significant as well. And Jordan, I just want to quickly tie this to some of our FOIA work, because this is exactly why we have worked to uncover information that ties people involved in these scandals together. I want our listeners to remember, we've announced this before, but one of our FOIAs uncovered an email between James Clapper, Michael Dempsey, and Stephanie O'Sullivan on January 7th, 2017, talking about that expansion of access to raw signal intelligence. Jordan, all three of those individuals made an unmasking request on that exact day, January 7th. Why is that information known, and why can John Bash now look at it? Jordan, it's because our FOIA work uncovered it. So this is what we always say. A lot of these puzzle pieces don't make sense until everything is out in the light, and then they fit together. Great news from the Attorney General that John Bash is looking at it and that the scope is bigger than we knew prior.
I want to go right to my dad. Jay Sekulow is joining us by phone. He's traveling. Dad, you put our FOIA case together and that federal court win, and now that we know that this criminal investigation is going on separately from John Durham's at the Department of Justice with a different U.S. attorney out of Texas, and that it's been going on now for 2 months, means they're really looking at, not that unmasking itself is illegal, but that there may have been criminal activity with the specific unmasking going on by the Obama administration with Mike Flynn and others related to the Trump campaign.
That's exactly right. So I think there's three things that are the most significant aspect about this. Number one is that we were able to uncover with our FOIA litigation, and an order we just received this week, Friday actually, that those that engage in unmasking, including those that say their staff did it, are ultimately still responsible. That, as you mentioned earlier, is hugely significant because it sets forth a framework of the inability to just blame others, which is kind of what was going on with this. So that's number one. Number two, we knew, as you said, from Sean's program, Carrie Kupek was on the DOJ spokesperson, that in fact an investigation was going on. So that was confirmed. But now we know that the investigation is being handled by a different U.S. attorney, specifically focusing on this one issue, which is a huge issue, and that is the whole issue of unmasking. So I think when you look at the framework of where we are today, this is quickly moving towards justice. And I think people are going to be held accountable, which is what you ultimately want in these situations. And I'm optimistic that we're going to see a positive result.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The fact that there is a prosecutor who is now 2 months into an investigation just on the unmasking, that's a criminal investigation. That's why you appoint U.S. attorneys. Just on the unmasking Mike Flynn. And as Than said, because of our work, because of what Rick Rennell did as DNI, we now know who put those requests in specific to Mike Flynn. The last one in is the Democrat nominee for President of the United States. And in our case, the federal court, so now the law as it stands today, says that if it says Joe Biden, it is Joe Biden, and he cannot use an excuse like it was some deputy. Because even if it was some deputy, it was a deputy high enough that it was like him doing it. So that's because of our case, which gives that U.S. attorney even more power on his criminal investigation. So you think about the work of the ACLJ just in this matter. I want to play for everybody again. So we played what the announcement of this initially on Sean Hannity's broadcast, which got lost into the matter with George Floyd. But again, yesterday, why this was such big news because it's now 2 months in to a criminal investigation that is separate from Durham's. Just on the unmasking of Mike Flynn, take a listen, Jim Jordan to Attorney General Barr.
So Mr. Durham is looking at how the whole Trump-Russia thing started. You have another U.S. attorney. Can you give us that U.S. attorney's name, or is that something you're comfortable doing?
John Bash of Texas.
John Bash of Texas is looking specifically at the fact.
At unmasking.
38 people, 49 times, unmasked Michael Flynn's name and probably other unmaskings that took place in the final days of the Obama-Biden administration. Is that accurate?
Actually, a much longer period of time.
Even before that?
Yes.
I mean, Dad, it is significant that, so it's a longer period of time now we know. That's different than what we knew from 2 months ago. It's more extensive than even what was declassified by Rick Grenell. Involves right. More officials. And then you add our civil case to it on the FOIA side, and all these officials like Samantha Power and Joe Biden's excuse that it wasn't really them. And we also know from declassified info that they were getting briefed on it in January. In November after the election by Jim Comey, by Peter Strzok in the Oval Office with Obama, with Biden. I mean, this, Dad, it adds another level of seriousness to what is going on and how our work contributes to those investigations.
Look, this would be true regardless of whether it was Joe Biden or whoever the vice president, or Al Gore, or if it was Dick Cheney. Whoever the nominee, whoever the official is, right. they can't hide behind the fact that they are blaming this on staff, or staff did this, and I really didn't know. So when it relates to the former vice president, he's in the order of chain where at least you could maybe make a colorable argument. I don't think they had a colorable argument on this case because of the situation. But I still can't figure out the UN ambassador. I mean, think about that for a moment. Makes no sense. But this is why it's important to support the work of the ACLJ, because it's like Van said, it's putting pieces of a puzzle together. And because of people's support for the ACLJ, especially in a matching challenge, we're able to put that puzzle together piece by piece. You got to be patient. We always tell people, justice grinds slowly, but you've got to be patient. But I think we're getting very close.
All right, folks, to support the work of the ACLJ, this is a critical week for us, as my dad just mentioned, because this is the final week of the matching challenge, which ends on Friday. And because of that, if you donate this today at aclj.org, your donation is effectively doubled. So you double the impact of your donation. Donate today. All of this work that we're doing, you see the impacts of it. Donate today if you're financially able to right now at aclj.org. We need your support.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We will update you as well. Corey DeAngelis from the Reason Foundation at reason.org is going to join us in the second half hour of the broadcast and update you on the school. We are now up to, because I want to talk to my dad about this as well as he joins us, and we'll take your calls too. If you think you're in a situation where you might need legal representation, remember, we're able to do that for free because of the donors to the ACLJ. We're able to do all that legal work, whether it's representing churches in California. Now it is up to 1,315 separate, those are individual families that have contacted us in 46 states and Washington, D.C. 900 of those have already been assigned to attorneys, and then we're working through it. I mean, in some days we get 300 and 400 in one day, so we work through which attorneys are handling kind of which region and which state. I mean, that alone, the significance of that work that we're doing, and some of it involves school boards, some of it might involve federal court, some of it might involve state court, and I know, and I won't go into too much detail, but that we could be taking our first action in these matters, so that from the client contact to actually taking that first action as early as Friday. So, I mean, this is a serious amount of work that the ACLJ is doing on just this one issue, and then you add to this FOIA win that we got this week as well.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the schools for a moment. There, what we're able to do, which is really great. There are parents that are stressed, and it's understandable that they're stressed. They're stressed because unknown as to what's going to happen with their schools, or their schools have already announced that they're not opening. We're not suing to make schools open. That's not a position we're advocating. What we are doing is asking school boards, as the federal government is doing through legislation, which Stan can address in a moment, but to make resources available directly to parents, especially parents in need, that need to buy computers, that need to get internet access, need broadband access, so there is to be paid, or special needs situations. So this is, you talk about 1,350 cases, those are 1,350 individual clients that lawyers are working through their proceedings. As you said, we may go to school board proceeding as early as Friday in Arizona. I'm sure there's going to be others that we do as well. A lot of them, hopefully, we can get resolved by not going to court. We will go to court, I'm sure, on some over the course of time. It's an evolving, changing matter, as you also know. But this is a great service that we're able to provide as the American Center for Law and Justice to people all over the country that could never afford to hire lawyers at the level of litigation expertise and constitutional expertise that our team has. I mean, like you said, Jordan, the same lawyers that are representing the President of the United States, except the great news is these 1,350 families don't have to pay for it because of the generosity of our donors. So that's another reason to be a member of the ACLJ and part of our team.
All right, Dad, I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. And let me remind you, folks, we're able to do all that work. Again, this FOIA win we've got, which now ties into directly the separate criminal investigation just on unmasking. I mean, you think about Samantha Power, 260 unmasking requests by her, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Okay, not an intel agent, just in 2016. Just in 2016, and now she can't hide behind that was just random staff because of our case, and there's a criminal investigation into this unmasking, and it's been going on for 2 months, and that makes it that much more significant. Let me go to the so if you want to support our work, you go to aclj.org. This is the time to do it. It's a matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation. That means a $20 donation is like $40, but you're just charged $20, your tax-deductible donation at aclj.org. Your $50 donation, that's like $100 for us at ACLJ. That $100 donation is like $200. I mean, you can do the math. Donate now, aclj.org. Dad, I want to go to the phones. Jim in Tennessee on line two. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate your ministry, and that's what it is, a ministry. Real quickly, I'll be brief. Even if Durham and Barr come out with correct answers and rightly so prosecute these guys, perception is reality, particularly to the middle America who's watching Rachel Maddow and gets their news from mainstream. If they come out too close to the election time, my fear is it's going to be spun and perceived as that's a political hack by Trump's campaign. So my challenge is come out even without a perfect case now, come out now to let the dust settle, because it will be perceived and spun, as you well know. And that's my fear.
You can't. You raise a really valid point, but let's say you can't take a non-perfect case to a United States grand jury. I mean, you just do that, because you've got to have a completed case. Now, they're working expeditiously. Obviously, the coronavirus situation has an impact to the sitting of grand juries, so all that's in play, but I expect that there's going to be action quickly. I think it'll be, I mean, I don't know this, I have no inside knowledge on this at all, but I think we're going to see action in the next, month, probably during the month of August. I could be wrong, but I think the point is that it's going to be completed cases, and I'm not even sure it's a report. Maybe it is, but I think it's going to be specific legal action that will be taken on individuals that are culpable. And I think you're going to see a lot of that, I suspect. Now, having said that, now you've got the second one on the unmasking, which we've been involved in the ACLJ a little bit because of our FOIA work. And I think there you've got another situation where there's a potential liability. But you do have to be careful around election times. They certainly weren't. They were spying on an existing campaign. Let's put that in perspective for a moment. They were spying on a current presidential campaign. So come on. I mean, but I think, look, I trust General Barr. I know he knows how to do this. I think one of the greatest attorney generals we've had in our U.S. history, and he's a very smart guy, and he knows what to do. I'm not worried. He will handle the program.
I mean, he drove the Democrats nuts yesterday. Dad, I think he is honestly the best person I've ever seen testify before Congress who has to do it. I mean, there's people who have individually done it once or twice. You've done it. I've done it before. Who've done a great job, but he has to do it all the time. He's done it for two different administrations on serious matters. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it frustrates that left side. He shuts every one of them down. He shows, again, no emotion, which is the right thing for an attorney general. It's not, he's not one side or the other. It's just he responds directly, like he did to this question about election interference from Congressman Tom McClintock, Republican from California, by 22. Just listen to General Barr's response. I mean, he's not trying to play some Eric Holder partisan hack like they try to make him out to be, like Nancy Pelosi says, a henchman for Trump. No, Holder was a henchman for Obama. That's the truth. Let's play by 22.
Are you going to be able to right this wrong before it becomes a precedent for future election interference by corrupt officials in our justice and intelligence agencies?
I really can't predict that. I think, as you know, John Durham is looking at all these matters. COVID did delay that action for a while, but he's working very diligently. And, justice is not something you order up on a schedule like you're ordering a pizza.
All right. So, I mean, Dad, there it is. So we've got our work, the civil action, then you've got the criminal investigation ongoing. People that want to see justice done in these matters. I mean, our work is directly tied to this, Dad, our work with these students, and this is a critical time in these last 50 seconds, our first half hour, to support our work.
Listen, whether it is the 1,350 families we're representing now across the country, or getting to the bottom of the deep state abuses that took place over the last 4 years, your membership in the ACLJ allows it to happen. And if you think about those 1,350 families, they couldn't do it without you. And certainly getting this other information public through our litigation efforts is aiding the country as a whole. So join the ACLJ, become a member, donate any amount you donate, we get matching gift for.
All right, folks, you do that at aclj.org. It is a critical time to support the work of the ACLJ. We are loaded with work. We are, and that's great. We want to be able to do more of that and have more resources available so we can help people. Donate today, aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about, of course, the significance that Attorney General Barr confirmed that the investigation, which is a separate investigation from John Durham's and the Russia matter and the hoax, and we know that the Russia investigation, all of that was, again, baseless. But there's a criminal investigation to see if what was done by these agents at the FBI and DOJ attorneys, like lying to Congress and lying to the FISA court about who the Steele dossier source was. Because Christopher Steele, he said he relied on this source, and this source had subsources, but that source was, they said, was Russia-based, which means they live in Russia, or they, that's their home, and they're there. And in fact, the source was, surprise, surprise, when you're getting it paid for by the Clinton campaign and the DNC, was based in Washington, D.C., and it was, I think, from Russia at some point, but had moved to the United States and was at the Brookings Institute. Still is, I think, to this day, and on Christopher Steele's payroll. So was it Russia-based? So they lied to FISA court. That's one criminal charge. And then they lied to Congress, is what Lindsey Graham said. That would be another criminal charge because they're always under oath in those situations. So that's very important to point out as we're talking about that. We also have the school choice issues, the voucher programs, the stimulus issues. And I want to get Than Bennett, our government affairs director. Than, where are we on the stimulus? Because this affects every single one of our listeners right now, whether they are small business owners, they work in small business, those PPP loans, the stimulus checks that may go out and what amount that will be. I mean, all of this is so important to everybody listening to the broadcast right now. And it also involves that education issue, the School Choice Now Act.
Yeah, they're right in the thick of those negotiations on the broader stimulus package right now, Jordan. As we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, Leader McConnell has outlined a roughly $1 trillion package that would build on the last stimulus that was passed. It would include another round of direct payments to Americans. It would replenish the PPP program. It would authorize $105 billion for education with the aim at reopening in as many schools as possible. And Jordan, inside that issue is where we're really focusing, trying to get Senator Scott and Chairman Alexander's idea that 10% of that $105 billion be allocated for school choice priorities. Basically, that it would flow directly to students and not just to schools that might not be open. Jordan, where those negotiations stand is Speaker Pelosi is insisting on the more than $3 trillion HEROES Act bill that the House passed a couple of months ago. There were all sorts of things in there, Jordan, that do not have anything to do with coronavirus legislation. And Secretary Mnuchin today, standing beside President Trump, said that the two sides are very far apart in those negotiations. So, Jordan, there is a lot of work to do before that package can get over the line. I still continue to think that there might be a short-term unemployment insurance package that passes before that, even though Speaker Pelosi has said no. I think that's a likely outcome. But I want to stress this really carefully, Jordan. We are really honed in on whatever education dollars pass. Both the Republicans and Democrats think that it should be in there. We want to get maximum flexibility inside those dollars for parents and students so that they can pick an education program that actually works for their students rather than just letting those dollars go to a school that may or may not open at all, Jordan. That's really where we're focused in, and this week we're in the thick of those negotiations.
All right, folks, coming up, we'll be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got Corey DeAngelis from the Reason Foundation. He is the director of their school choice program there. He's got a new book coming out as well on the school choice myths. So we'll talk to him because, again, we've got over 1,300 of these contacts. Support the work of the ACLJ. You hear from Than, our government affairs efforts going on in Washington, D.C. This pandemic's not slowing us down. I mean, we have more contacts. I don't think we've ever had this many legal contacts come in at a single time on an issue like this with the school issue ever before. So our attorneys are busier than ever. The pandemic's not slowing us down, but we need your financial support because we offer all those services at no cost because of you. We offer to do this broadcast because of you. Donate today at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, and we get to most of those in the next segment of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We're joined now by a great guest of the broadcast, someone who's been assisting us as well through these. Again, now it's up to 1,315 individual families that have contacted the ACLJ through aclj.org/help in just about 2.5 weeks. It looks like we'll be taking our first action on this situation in Arizona that we've talked about with Corey, where the schools are not supposed to open at least until August 14th, but they are going to open under a different name, and you have to pay for it if you want to send your kid there at the exact same time that school would be open. And not just for like some special program because you're going extra early or you're staying later, but even if you wanted to go like during just normal school hours to stay on what would be your school schedule. They are charging up to $200 a week per student, which would be up to $800 per kid you have in elementary school at the same time school would have started. I mean, so that will be our first action. That could come as early as Friday. So we're starting to take that next step. But we want to talk to Corey, too, because there's so much going on around the country. He's got this new book coming out. You can pre-order it now at Amazon. It's called School Choice Myths, Setting the Record Straight on Education Freedom. It's out October 7th, but you can pre-order it now at Amazon. I'll tweet the link out right after he's on with us. But I want to go to Corey right now because, Corey, there is a lot happening on the school choice front as we speak because of the pandemic. I mean, first, right off the bat, we have Senator Rand Paul, who's saying that all existing federal education funding should go directly to families, which even goes further than the School Choice Now Act.
Yeah, it's totally interesting that Rand Paul just announced this in an email just a couple of days ago, that he wants to reallocate all existing, or a large portion at least, of existing federal education spending to families directly. And he makes a good argument that, well, if the schools aren't even reopening, why should the schools get the money? Why shouldn't the money go to families like we do with other taxpayer initiatives? And so I think he has a good idea there. And look, what you said in Arizona is, I just want to reiterate, it's just absolutely ridiculous where the state constitution says that the government is supposed to provide a free public education, and they're trying to charge parents twice for that in the elementary schools where they would have sent their children. And so it's kind of hard for the state to say that they're providing a free public education if they're charging families twice.
If you go to reason.org, too, you can see all the work that Corey is doing. You know, he's also associated with the Cato at Cato, but he's the director of school choice. So if you go to reason.org, if you click on their experts, you'll see Corey DeAngelis. You can see all of his writing specifically on this school choice matter. So you've got that going. Then you've got, we've got these matters going on right now because you've got lawsuits going on in California, Corey, on this money that's not following students to charter schools, which are technically public schools. They just are not. They are not run under the public school. They're not controlled by the school board, but they still fall under the school, the way they work. That's why your book is important, I think, the school choice myths, because all these topics are interesting to people and they may not know. But California is basically saying, no, you can't use the vouchers for charter. You can't send your kid to charter school, even though they're really public schools. Even virtually.
Yeah, that's totally crazy what's going on in California right now. Any other year, you would have been able to send your child to a charter school of your choosing, and that money would have followed the child to the charter school. This year, because of the pandemic and because a lot of families saw that the charter schools were reacting better to the lockdown and providing better educational services, the special interest groups out there in California pushed for a bill to block the funding from following the children to charter schools in this time of need. And just one charter school in particular already reported that 500 students who were already admitted to their school had to put them back on the wait list. And so schools were already planning to serve these additional children. Then Senate Bill 98 went through, which essentially blocks the funding from following the children. And now families in California are suing the state because the state isn't providing that equal opportunity of an education at public charter schools.
We've got, there's a couple. I mean, we're just kind of trying to update everybody. That's why I want to bring Corey on just all what's happening as we speak, at the federal legislation level, what's happening at the state level in California, the precedents that these would set as well long term. That's what gets dangerous here, too, folks. You start allowing these precedents to be set, and suddenly you've given the state this power, the federal side this power, why wouldn't they be able to do this whenever they kind of wanted to? What stops them? Especially not great how the Supreme Court's been coming down on this. Now, they've been specific on pandemic, but what else could they say that would cause this? I mean, Corey, there's an issue in North Carolina where there's a state court lawsuit. We're looking into it right now about whether or not it's the right time for a group like us to file an amicus brief or not, because the issues that are being raised. But basically, it's a group that's backed by a group of parents, bizarrely enough, who are really backed by the teachers' union there, suing the state at the state court level because their voucher program goes to religious schools that have ideologies they disagree with, basically.
Yeah, they're called the two teachers unions in North Carolina are calling to end the private school voucher program that has been in place for a while there in North Carolina, the North Carolina Opportunity Scholarship Program that is targeted to low income families. You can't even qualify for the voucher unless you are up to 133% of the free or reduced lunch income level, which is about $63,000 for a family of four in the most recent school year. And they're calling to end this program. Over 12,000 low-income students are using this program, and they're just trying to protect their monopoly here. I mean, they make the argument out loud that they're saying that, this program somehow siphons away money from public schools. But look, that money doesn't belong to the public schools. The money belongs to the child, and it should follow the child to wherever they're getting an education, whether that's a public school or a private school, especially when these low-income families are only getting about half of the amount, actually less than half the amount. They only get about $4,000 per voucher to take to private schools if they would like to do so. And so, look, school choice doesn't siphon away money from public schools. Public schools siphon away money from families. School choice just returns that money into the hands of the rightful owners. And look, those public schools won't lose any money at all if they actually serve their customers well and do a good job for these families. Why would the families be leaving those schools if they are happy with the public schools? The reality is they're not actually happy with the public schools, and that's why they want to take their child's education dollars elsewhere. And so look, the money doesn't belong to the system. It belongs to the child. It should follow them to wherever they're going. And I also want to mention that the president of the largest teachers union in the United States, the National Education Association, which is also the largest union in the United States, period, commented on this, Lily Eskelson-Garcia, and she said that private schools are, quote, unaccountable to parents. And that's just laughable for her to say that, because private schools are directly accountable to parents. Parents can take their money elsewhere if they're not doing a good job. And this one program in North Carolina, there's one rigorous study on this that's peer-reviewed and published in AERA Open, and it found that the program has increased math test scores and English language arts test scores as well. So, look, these schools are directly accountable to parents. If they weren't, why would 12,000 families be voluntarily sending their children to these schools?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go to Than Bennett because I know Than, our government affairs director, has got a question for you, Corey. Let me tell you, folks, go pre-order Corey's book at Amazon. It is School Choice Myths. We've got that up for our Facebook and Periscope audience, but for our radio audience, it's easy to remember that. School Choice Myths. If you put that into Amazon.com, the book will come right out. You can pre-order it now. It's setting the record straight on education freedom. And I know a lot of you have questions about it. So whether you're a supporter of school choice or you just you need to learn more about it because you have questions about like what Corey's talking about, like who was the money going to and will it hurt my, the public school that I do like that my kid goes to, and does it mean that the government will end up taking over the private school? All of those questions that you have. So whether you're a supporter of school choice, this will help you make your case, make your argument, or you're trying to figure out where you are on the issue, this is a great book. You can pre-order it now. School Choice Myths, Setting the Record Straight on Education Freedom at Amazon.com. It's by Corey DeAngelis. So pre-order that. Than, I know you got a question for Corey.
Yeah, Corey, appreciate your work on this. And just quickly, as we're climbing up on the end of our segment here, I want to circle back to the accountability point that you made. I mean, many in Washington, D.C. will say, well, this is a state or local issue, so we're not going to act on it. Corey, I really think that's a cop-out. I mean, they're sending $68 billion a year for purposes of education, and now we're talking about another $105 billion flowing. As you well know, that often comes with strings attached. So what we're trying to do is get them to have accountability for those dollars and actually take strings off and send those dollars to the students as well. I know that's something that you've talked a lot about. Just wanted to give you a chance to comment on those federal dollars.
Yeah, I think the existing federal dollars should go to the student. There's no reason why we should be funding the system instead of the student. And yeah, it's not like the money is going to accountable public schools right now. What happens when the public schools underperform? They don't lose their money. But we could have much more accountability by tying it to the students directly, because they can vote with their feet if the school's not doing a good job and take their money elsewhere.
All right, folks. And, you know, again, there's so much to talk about. We could keep talking about it with Corey. You can follow him on Twitter, DeAngelis Corey. I've also tweeted it out, so if you follow me, it's easy to follow him. And again, pre-order his new book. We'll keep having him on, too, as we get closer to that book launching. But and it's these issues at Amazon, School Choice Myths. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. It's great to be joined by Corey and get you that update again, because just for all of you to know, just on that school issue, then we're going to get back to the matter involving the U.S. attorney who's been specifically appointed 2 months ago, and that was announced by DOJ to look at unmasking. But yesterday, Attorney General Barr confirmed the significance of the investigation, that it's still ongoing. So it wasn't open and shut, that because as DOJ said, you know, unmasking itself is not a crime. That power is given to the federal government and officials at the highest levels on national security matters. But what happened here with the unmasking and the amount was so bizarre and so suspicious that John Durham himself asked for this other U.S. attorney, for a different U.S. attorney to be appointed just to look into it. And what we found out from Attorney General Barr is that it's not even just looking at those final, like, couple of months or just of the Obama administration. As Jim Jordan said, you know, there were 38 people who unmasked Mike Flynn's name in the Obama administration 48 different times in 2 months. And Attorney General Barr said their investigation, which is still going on, so it's a criminal investigation into Samantha Power's unmasking of Mike Flynn. It's a criminal investigation into Joe Biden's unmasking of Mike Flynn. So they want to talk about President Trump all the time and, you know, the DA in New York and this and that on tax records, which the Constitution doesn't require a president of the United States. That's not what some of the role that says you must release tax returns. That, you know, they've got those investigations going. Well, how about the fact now that we know there's a U.S. attorney looking at everybody who unmasked Mike Flynn and whether or not it was a crime? Because Joe Biden's part of that. So I think it's fair to say, certainly newsworthy. It was in every single news outlet yesterday that was fair. It was a Wall Street Journal right there. So, I mean, think about that. Again, the significance of that, folks. And that it's not just about the 38 people unmasked by Mike Flynn, the 48 times in 2 months. And then, Than, because of our victory in the FOIA case at the federal court, we now know that people like Samantha Power and Joe Biden and even Obama cannot hide behind it was just a staffer. Now, in Joe Biden's case, in Samantha Power's case, in Susan Rice's case, you actually had their names listed. And so as the court said, if it was their name listed, you would conclude that that was them, and they cannot say it wasn't, because even if it was a deputy, it was a deputy that was high enough so to them in the federal government that it's like them doing it. So they can't hide behind that legally. And you've got Joe Biden and Samantha Power and Susan Rice, you know, they're specifically listed among and others. And you've got President Obama's chief of staff, so it imply, and then that would also then apply to him as well. And that comes from our case, which has taken a couple of years. I mean, a couple of years in federal court against the State Department.
Yeah, and as it should, Jordan. I mean, there's a reason that a person has to sign these requests. It's so that there's accountability. I mean, this goes to the Peter Strzok issue, too. There's a reason that his signature on the documents lying to the FISA court matters. It's because we want someone to have accountability to make sure that power is not abused. This is a sacred power to be able to unmask an American citizen in this way. The person has to be held to account. That's the entire reason that their name is on the document. And, Jordan, I also just think, again, just to underscore this point, this probe that John Bash is now leading, 2 months into it, it was significant enough before John Bash got it that it had to be separated out entirely. And of course, the Attorney General confirmed yesterday that it actually precedes the transition days as well. Jordan, if it was significant enough at that point to separate it out, and it's taken 2 months up to this point to get to where it is now, this brings to mind the comment the Attorney General made about justice not being ordered up like a pizza. It takes time. Jordan, Jordan, there is a lot of there. And your dad said earlier that he thinks that there's going to be action, prosecutorial action sometime soon. All of the indication that I see, Jordan, is that that's probably already taking place in the John Durham case. And on the unmasking side, I think it's coming down the line soon. And by the way, this goes both ways up and down the authority ladder. We know it goes all the way up to the principals now because of the decision that was made in our case, but also because of documents we uncovered. People like Stephanie L. Sullivan and Michael Dempsey, who we confirmed were talking with James Clapper on the very day that all three of them made an unmasking request. Jordan, it goes down the ladder as well. And those people down the ladder inside the bureaucracy that were involved in this, I believe they're going to be held to account as well.
All right, folks, let me get right to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jerry, first in Rhode Island, line 5. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, team.
Hey,
in regards
Jerry.
To that caller who said, in regards to what we're talking about now, the Bass investigation, saying, let's hurry up and get this filed. Well, that's not what ACLJ does or a good lawyer does. That's what the other side does. Rush to get this in the media spotlight just to politicize it.
It was the impeachment. That's exactly what I mean, even I think John Bolton has lost his mind. But John Bolton even said, and he came out, Jerry, with the book and all that junk in there that's been disputed. But even he said the reason he didn't come and testify, it wasn't going to go and do that, was because the House impeachment managers rushed their impeachment. Now, I totally disagree with their impeachment. We've, of course, represented the president in separate from the ACLJ, but and we're there. But, I mean, even he said that. I mean, and like you said, that's how the other side does things. They rush it, and what does that turn out to be? Nothing but a political stunt. That's not real justice. We want to see real justice. That's what we fight for at the ACLJ. That's why we take time. These clients that have been coming in the last 2 weeks on the school issue and these parents. They're facing hardships. That's why our first action will likely be Friday past, of course, we've been working with the parents, figuring out where do we go to a school board first? Do we go to a state court? Do we go to federal court? Do we go to a governor? Do we go to a state commissioner? What issue is it specifically to those parents? You figure all of that out. Then you take the necessary actions. That's what's going on here. And now we know how extensive it is. Let me go to Robert in Maryland, line 2. Final call of the day. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. I wanted to ask you, with the addition of the new attorney being brought on board to investigate the further unmasking of Michael Flynn and others, do you believe that there'll be criminal indictments based upon any evidence they turn up? Because they also find out, as you said, it wasn't just during the transition period of President Trump being elected and before his inauguration, but it preceded that. And on the purpose of unmasking is, from what I understand, is that when two people are having an electronic communication telephone call over the phone with a foreign national, and one happens to be an American, they're supposed to mask the American and unmask the foreign person that's on the other end of the line to determine if they're involved in some type of terrorist activity or an enemy foreign agent. So I just wanted to ask your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that's what it is. Specifically, is the criminal indictments. Do we think it's more significant? I think, again, when you start having a U.S. attorney saying, "I can't do this investigation and the unmasking one. It needs to be something separate." They don't just do it to issue a report. They're not inspector generals. They do it because they think that there's potential crimes, and they don't always bring charges, but they at least believe that on this unmasking issue, we know it's more extensive than we thought, the criminal investigation, and it's been going on for 2 months. On the second issue, yes, there is a reason that you can unmask. It's for actual national security issues. But do you need to do it 300 times? Does your UN ambassador to the U.S. need to do it 300 times? Does Joe Biden need to do it? That's the questions you ask here, and why were they doing it? Support the work of the ACLJ. It's the final week of our matching challenge. Donate today at aclj.org. It's even how we bring this broadcast to you every day. aclj.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.